Will you pray with me? O gracious and loving God, may the meditations of all our hearts, our minds, and our very souls be pleasing unto you this day and forevermore. Amen. Well, some of you who have Bibles that include artwork may recognize this amazing piece of art that illustrates this passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. Do you recognize it? I call it glass half full, glass half empty in magic marker. And I'd be happy to auction off this very valuable piece of art at coffee hour if you would like. But seriously, did you all see this? Yeah, they like it too. Okay. A dollar, we have a dollar. Seriously though, this appears to me to capture a bit of what Paul is trying to convey to his believers in Rome. These new believers were suffering under an oppressive Roman Empire, and they were being persecuted for their belief in Jesus. They were getting restless and wondering what in the world had they signed up for. And like so many of Paul's letters, he was writing to try and encourage them to hang on to their belief, to be patient and remain hopeful. Paul was trying to explain the yet and not yet of what Jesus had promised. The glass half full represents the yet, that which they had already received. The glass half empty was the not yet, the kingdom to come, the promise of better days ahead, the glory not yet experienced. And while we fortunately are not being oppressed or persecuted because of our beliefs, we certainly live in a time when we have our own concerns that make us wonder if our glass is half full or is it half empty. And as you look at this artwork, and I use that term loosely, I wonder which you are seeing given your own personal circumstances. Or as a member of this community, which are you seeing? As a citizen of the world and given our current societal woes, is the glass half empty or is it half full? While it is easy to become discouraged by disturbing events at home and abroad, so many of you have mentioned to me that you're having to limit your news intake to avoid feeling complete despair about the state of the world. While present circumstances are certainly different than those early believers, Paul's words of encouragement can help us today. Paul reminds us that the Spirit is with us, and if we are led by the Spirit of God, we are children of God. He goes on to say that when we cry out to Abba, such an intimate term to call God as our parent, that we are in fact heirs of God, heirs of Christ. We are received in the spirit of adoption. We are not alone. We are part of a very holy family. And that whatever we are currently suffering, we must hold on to the promise of the glory that is yet to be revealed to us. But a word of caution here. Given Jesus' teachings about us being co-creators of the kingdom of God here on earth, I don't believe we should interpret Paul's writings to be just about the glory beyond our bodily lives. When Paul suggests that one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience, I also don't believe we should confuse patience with complacency. Patience is not the same as acquiescing. Patience in this sense is not satisfied with the present, but lives toward a future promised by God. The promise of the kingdom realized on earth, not just in heaven. Patience doesn't mean we look at the glass half full and be satisfied. Why not strive to fill the glass to overflowing? Well, I've never been particularly patient when it comes to settling for a half empty glass. When I was in my early 20s, I dated a man 11 years my senior. He was a recovering alcoholic and addict, had already been married and divorced, and had a 5-year-old daughter. This dear man had already been through a lot and was only in his mid-30s. But he said to me once, All I want now in my life is to be content. At 23, I knew this was the end of us. At 23, the last thing I wanted was to be content. I wanted to see the world. I wanted to knock my new career out of the park. I wanted to change the world. And I couldn't imagine ever wanting to be just content. Well, you would think with time and a bit of maturity that I would have grown more in my desire for the same contentment. And yes, there are some days when being content sounds pretty lovely, but on most days, striving to be content is the last thing on my mind, which sometimes gets me in trouble. I'm rarely happy with the glass half full. I always want a little bit more. And I can occasionally become overly pushy, snarky, and opinionated about that, which, by the way, is what inspired me to add confession to the service today. Especially after reading the psalm acknowledging that God searches me and knows me, I needed confession. And maybe it helped you as well. But here's why. You see, a few years ago in one of our women's book groups, we were discussing some social justice issues, and I was expressing my concerns about things not changing fast enough. And a friend quoted Martin Luther King and said, "But the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." And I quipped, "But is it? Is it really bending toward justice, or are we regressing in our progress?" I didn't mean to sound dismissive of how far we've evolved, but I worried that by simply believing this, that we would be tempted to rest on our laurels. Here's what I wish I had said, which is a quote from one of our former presidents. "The arc of the moral universe may bend toward justice, but it doesn't bend on its own." Exactly. As heirs of God and of Jesus, we are called to usher in a new era of hope and possibility, which we are to be a sign, a witness, and a foretaste of what is to come. During Joys and Concerns last week, Kathy Harbeck lifted up how proud she was of this congregation, how Christian she felt when we held a memorial service and reception for a family in our community who weren't members. In their deep and abiding grief, they were welcomed and embraced by this congregation. It was truly a foretaste of what the kingdom of heaven on earth might look like. Like Kathy, I am deeply grateful for this loving, welcoming, and yes, compassionate community. It is that hope for things not seen that Paul is reminding us to cling to. It is hope that fuels our imaginations for the way things ought to be. Hope. Hope for things that are not yet but are promised to us. The hope that empowers us to strive to confront the root causes of what is keeping us from creating and experiencing the kingdom on earth that Jesus envisions for us. Well, love is by far the best fruit of the Spirit, and in Christ we have come to know the power of love. We have been blessed abundantly by that fruit, that unconditional love. And while we rejoice in that love, we should always hunger for more. Hope calls us to love where love is absent, to fight for justice where there is none, to break open hearts that have turned to stone, to forgive when forgiveness seems utterly impossible. And yes, the one who hopes also hurts. It's seeing that glass half empty that touches our tender hearts and calls upon our compassion to reach out to a hurting world. The one who hopes also has a restless heart. Again, the Spirit with a capital S is with us. Hope should inspire us. And did you know the word inspire literally means to have the Spirit? As the psalmist proclaims so beautifully, "Where I go from your Spirit, where can I go from your Spirit or flee from your presence? Wherever I go, your Spirit is with me. Your hand will lead me, and your hand will hold me." As Paul professes, in hope we are saved. Hope is not what we have seen. Hope must be grounded in what has yet to be seen, grounded in Christ's vision of what could and should be here on earth. I pray that we never become content with the glass being only half full. The arc of the moral universe may bend toward justice, but it doesn't bend on its own. Exactly. Amen.